Many Americans regard Congress as a body mired in partisanship and inactivity, but a new report on the government's greatest endeavors over the past 50 years challenges that perception. Conducted by the Brookings Institution, the report lists the government's top 50 achievements. They are based on the major endeavors the government sought to accomplish from 1944 to 1999, from efforts to reduce disease to improving the environment. The report suggests government may deserve more credit than it often receives. Paul Light is Director of Governmental Studies at the Brookings Institution.
The origin of the project was to basically celebrate what government does well and also be honest about where it hasn't done very well at all.
And who got to participate?
Well, we started out by completing an inventory of what government tried to do. This is a project about where the federal government spent its time and energy, not what it should have done. And once we got the list of the federal government's 50 greatest endeavors, we surveyed a group of historians and political scientists at America's leading colleges and universities and asked them to rank the federal government's success in actually achieving its goals. And the final list of government's greatest hits, if you will, is really based on their opinions about what government did well and, frankly, what government didn't do well.
And the lucky winner?
The Marshall Plan. Rebuilding Europe after World War II, it was number one with a bullet. There was absolutely no variation among the historians and political scientists on that issue. Conservatives, liberals, men, women, historians, political scientists, Democrats, Republicans, they all agreed that that was the number one success of the past 50 years.
It is logical that the United States should do whatever it is able to do to assist in the return of normal economic health in the world. Our policy is directed not against any country or doctrine, but against hunger, poverty, desperation, and chaos, so as to permit the emergence of political and social conditions in which free institutions can exist.
The whole effort to rebuild Western Europe as a bulwark against communism and also to restore the economic vitality of the region. And there's a lot of objective evidence that, in fact, we succeeded.
So the best thing this government, this country's government, has done is to help other people in other lands.
Yeah, absolutely. But number two on the list was expanding the right to vote for our own citizens. So the list of endeavors here really involves both efforts to promote human rights abroad, reduce nuclear arms, rebuild Europe, contain communism, but a great deal of activity here in our own country to improve the quality of life for our own citizens. And there's a lot of success within our borders as well.
In fact, there's a cluster there having to do with civil rights. The right to vote, number two, public accommodations, number three, workplace discrimination, reducing workplace discrimination, five. So.
Right. And, you know, what we see in that list is an extraordinary commitment over time to a host of efforts to open this country's internal processes, voting, accommodations, and so forth to all races, and to provide equal access for on the basis of gender and so forth.
This Civil Rights Act is a challenge to all of us to go to work in our communities and our states, in our homes and in our hearts, to eliminate the last vestiges of injustice in our beloved country.
There's a lesson here that what government does best oftentimes involves great endurance over time. And what we see in the voting rights endeavor is that we have to work at it and work at it and work at it. So we have the Voting Rights Act of 1965, then we do Motor Voter. We expand the access to the polls. We get people registered to vote. But what we found in the 2000 election is that's not enough. It's not enough to just get people registered. It's not enough to get them to the polls. You also have to give them voting technology that allows them to register their vote. And we're going to see more work on voting rights in the coming years. And we're going to continue to grind away at that endeavor. And that's part of government's greatest achievements. You just have to keep working these issues.
Number seven on the list is strengthening the nation's highway
system.
Does that strike you as odd, given all these wonderful, selfless great things that surround it?
I mean, we built a lot of roads and bridges. We built the interstate highway system, and our historians and political scientists rated that very highly. I mean, the interstate highway system is a remarkable achievement. What's interesting to me about strengthening the nation's highway list as number 7 is that improving mass transit, urban mass transit, is number 46 on this list. There's a relationship between the two, I suspect, that we put a lot of money into building roads and bridges. We encouraged people to buy automobiles and drive to work, and lo and behold, we diluted public support for urban mass transit. So here, the interstate highway system emerges at the top of the list, and urban mass transit emerges as a real disappointment. In part, I think, because Americans had very little incentive to provide the energy and support for political leaders who would build urban mass transit systems.
Containing communism is item 14.
Right.
And if you scan the newspapers of 40 years of those 50 years, you would think that we were so consumed with that.
Do you, Ambassador Zorin, deny that the USSR has placed and is placing medium and intermediate range missiles and sites in Cuba? Yes or no?
Containing communism as an endeavor actually divided our respondents pretty significantly. The conservatives in our sample of historians and political scientists actually rated containing communism as the second most important achievement of the federal government. The liberals in our sample put it well down the list. Men put it higher, women put it lower. There's a lot of division on containing communism. On virtually every other item on this list, there's real agreement across the divisions within the sample, but containing communism split our sample by ideology and gender in a way that we didn't see on any others.
You look at the scope of this list, you see how much the government is involved in. Do you take comfort from that if you're a member of the old Johnson Great Society, or chagrin if you're a Reaganite?
Well, when you look at the top of the list, what you see is that it's very difficult to give credit to any one party or president. There's a lot of bipartisanship in the top 10. It wasn't a Democratic effort to strengthen the national defense. It wasn't a Republican effort. We've been doing that for 50 years, and Democrats and Republicans have been in rough agreement on a number of these items, including reducing disease and providing health care to older Americans. What you see at the bottom of the list is a great deal of partisanship and a lack of clarity in terms of our vision. We really haven't known what our intent has been on controlling immigration. We haven't done very well on tax reform. We really haven't done very well on devolving responsibilities to the states. I think this list provokes a great deal of debate. You know, one of the questions here is, what makes the list of endeavor? Where have we spent most of our time and energy? And should we have spent our time and energy these ways?
Well, it's a good list. I mean, there's not a dog on here.
It's a wonderful affirmational kind of project. You can take a look at the top and say to yourself, look, if a government is measured by what it tries to accomplish, what it endeavors to achieve, our federal government has really aimed high. We've tackled tough problems. Sometimes we've succeeded, sometimes we haven't, but it's hard not to be proud of what we tried to do.
Paul Light is Director of Governmental Studies at the Brookings Institution.